a lot of times in these secret societies, your public position of fame is very much correlated to your position within these secret societies. So, for instance, it's very likely that the all-time scoring list actually correlates to a certain ranking within whatever secret society these guys were in. And I was just watching some bits of evidence and videos about LeBron and how LeBron is very much a secret society member, specifically a certain sect of Freemason. I forget which sect, but he has the tattoo, the Freemason tattoo. Oh, I keep doing that. My bad. He has a tattoo of, it's like a lion, but it's a known symbol. Sect Freemason symbol, and he sells T-shirts of it and everything. And it's like, you know, Q always says symbolism will be their downfall. And it's because these groups love to put their symbolism right in your face. And we'll get into pictures of that a little later with Kobe demonstrating, you know, Illuminati type symbolism.
Well,
as most people in Hollywood do.
With secret societies and even fraternities and so on, like the more, even though frats can get gross too, but they've been put through something to earn those symbols themselves. So it's a source of pride in a weird way. Also to outweigh the sacrifice and the suffering that they had to go through to get to it. And it's just, it's kind of like a human behavior thing. And so I understand why that they would do stuff like that too. It also kind of bolsters that they did something to earn it. And it's, yeah.
And this pattern that I'm referencing about public stats of your success being correlated to rankings within the secret societies that you're in. I've noticed this as well with the way actors are portrayed in films. So oftentimes, a form of initiation into these groups will be to play a really embarrassing role in a movie or a TV show. And you'll notice the people that are most respected in Hollywood play the most prestigious roles. Meryl Streep is the first one that comes to mind. Tom Hanks, Brad Pitt. Like, you never see them in roles that are embarrassing to their character. Maybe in the beginning, but that's because that's how you work your way up. So that there's a direct correlation between the status, because it's all psychology. It's about how the public perceives you, right? And they're very much aware and in tune with that.
Well, so if power. You're... Our perception of these people is their power, like the collective,
right.
We are their power. So it's just so funny. Like,
so if you see somebody in a movie that's constantly being ridiculed and abused and made fun of, that's kind of becomes your subconscious perception of them. And they do that on purpose. And so they'll purposely put people in these situations as like forms of initiation. So that's kind of what I see going on here in a sense. You know, he was passed as, and I'm not saying this is fact. I'm saying this is my conclusion based on the research that I've done around how these groups work. So,
thankfully, not from personal experience. I'm grateful about that. That would be intense.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Another strange thing was the color of the helicopter. So Kobe's helicopter used to be white and blue, and sometime, you know, in the past couple years, he repainted it with the Mamba coloring, which is all solid black, and he has his logo on it, which we'll get into a little later. But the weird thing about that is that the helicopter that was actually crashed was white and blue, not black. So inconsistencies in what was occurring there. Isn't that strange?
Yes.
There was also no black box on the helicopter, which is highly suspicious because that's a legal requirement. So to not have a black box is very suspicious within itself. You know, it probably did have a black box, but what all this is pointing to is that he didn't actually die in a helicopter crash, essentially, is what it seems like. Here's another article about Bill Clinton and Kobe Bryant. And I just want to say, like, when it comes to Bill Clinton, it's really, really hard to deny that Bill Clinton was a pedophile based on everything that's come out with the Epstein reports. I mean, he's literally been there over 20 times, at least officially that we know of. He's been there over 20 times. Again, Trump, never been to Epstein Island.
And that's so, just one of the locations.
Right, exactly. We know that. We know that Epstein has another island that hasn't been brought into the news that much. The Epstein Island we all know of is called Little St. James, but he has a neighboring island called Big St. James, which not many people know about, which hasn't been publicly investigated yet. But my point here is that I feel that anybody that rubs shoulders with the Clintons knows something. And it's not an accident, you know? Again, this could be blackmail. It could be that he was forced to work with the Clintons.
Yeah.
But still very suspicious.
You've got a lot of links to the...
This is, again, about their partnership, including ESPN, a new partnership with the Aspen Institute Sport and Society Program to work with national governing bodies of sport, academia, and others to ensure that all children have access to physical activities and sports. This was discussed at the conference opening ESPN Town Hall, which included President Clinton and Kobe Bryant discussing key strategies to improve access to sports and physical activity, and commitments from Nike to the United States Olympic Committee. So all of these groups
And this is on ClintonFoundation.org.
Yes, that's ClintonFoundation.org.
Saying they're directly working with ESPN and Kobe
With ESPN,
Bryant.
Which we know is owned by Disney.
And children.
With Nike, which we know has sweatshops and is involved in very unethical practices. So it's really not looking good for Kobe.
And the Olympics is like the biggest human trafficking.
Which one is?
Event. The Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Olympics and the Super Bowl are the world's biggest. So you've got a lot of red flags right here. This is a Republican politician, Matt Gaetz, tweeted, "In the National Church of American Excellence, an exceptional display of talent, Kobe Bryant was a high priest." Devastating news. What's your instant reaction off that?
Such a weird way to start. That might even be a real church, but I had seen that before. In the National Church of American Excellence, an exceptional display of talent, Kobe Bryant was a high priest. Devastating news. It's kind of weird. Like, is that just...
Well, the first thing I think of is that, you know, high priest, high priestesses, when you study the occult, they have these titles. Like, that's just how they operate. Like,
right.
Marina Abramovich, high priestess. You know, in my opinion, Meryl Streep is the high priestess of the Hollywood secret societies and cults.
Well, it doesn't look like in the National Church of American Excellence that there doesn't seem that spiritual, my opinion.
What I see is that he is indirectly exposing that he was a high priest of a secret society.
It's
and that
possible.
this is a way of casually saying that to people who are aware. Because with that wording, why would you say that otherwise? I mean, the context of that is so strong with what we're talking about. Mm. It just seems way too much of a coincidence. Those words just aren't... They wouldn't make sense outside of this context, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is it. There's a lot of heavy stuff. And then we're not even close to done with the evidence that Chase has brought up for all of you to look at. So just for the sake of time, would you mind?
We're going to get through it. Yeah. Okay. Within 24 hours of his death, they had a Hulu documentary out with interviews and all this stuff. People say, well, they prepare obituaries and stuff for people's deaths, but to have an entire documentary with interviews and all that is a little suspicious to me.
Mm-hmm.
Him covered in gold. Now, I like this because somebody actually puts a Q drop in here where Q says, what does it mean to be covered in gold? Can you locate the other pic with Y head covered in gold? Now, this was back when Q, in the early days of Q, this was November 2017. So this was like less than a month after Q started. Q was posting pictures of a lot of these like Luciferian bad actors who were using the symbolism of the goat head and being covered in gold and is asking people to research into other people. So This photo was actually taken at the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. And he's covered in gold. So if you don't know what the gold symbolism is in the dark occult, it is a reference to, it goes back to ancient Egypt, to the Egyptian priesthoods, and it's a reference to mainly to the sun gods, to Ra, being a golden being. And, you know, we have our own connections with those beings, with the Ra beings. And I think that ultimately they were positive. They were real, I believe, and they were positive beings. But when you study the Egyptian priesthoods, they tainted and corrupted the messages that came from these higher dimensional beings and made it a dark occult practice. The Law of One talks about this. The Law of One, which is the Ra material, talks about how they came down and were trying to help humanity at the time, help them build the pyramids, gave them technologies to evolve, but that the priesthoods turned against the original pure knowledge and started using it for power and corruption. So that's where this general symbol of being covered in gold comes from. In addition, as this last Q drop says, can you find people with Y symbolism? Because the Y, the letter Y, symbolizes the goat head. It looks like a goat head. And
oh, I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, one of the
I've
first
never looked for that before.
One of the initial things Q was saying was look for covered in gold and then the Y in the owl.
Right.
Because the owl is like the Moloch deity that we all know from like the Bohemian Grove. And then the Y is the goat head. It's the horns. And so here's Kobe with a shirt that says hunt or be hunted with a Y on the bottom. And that's what they chose to show.
Just a straight up Y, like.
This is actually what Fox News chose to show covering his death.
Mm.
Which, you know, I believe that certain people at Fox News are privy to a lot of the information that Q is privy to. Not Fox as a network, but certain people at Fox. And so to me, that doesn't seem like an accident either. One of the things that Q says very often is the hunters have become the hunted. Q has said
yes,
that many,
true.
Many times. So again, strange. And more blatant Illuminati symbolism. The one on the top left, you know, I'm sure people who are big fans of Kobe will say that, like, that's his logo, but why is that his logo? And then also, this isn't his logo.
Can any of these people have a logo that's this, like, a yeah, heart, right? You know, like...
All-seeing eyebrow.
Blur? I don't know.
So, yeah,
no,
more of that.
It's got to be the triangle.
And then...
It's so trippy, because my sorority that I was in for a little bit, they did that, except they did it, like, upside down, like a kite, like this. Mm. But I was like, that's fucking weird.
Or where do you think it comes
from?
Excuse
my language, but I was like, blah. But I left that sorority because it was whack. And, you know, they didn't even do anything weird to me, but it was just... It was
well, the
not...
sororities and the fraternities are where the recruitment for these societies originally happened.
Yes, because... And then it's all a money game, too, and it's a pyramid, you know, it's rising to power. You go through initiations and so on. Like, I went through a weird initiation, and they're like, oh, you can't talk about it, and blah, blah, blah. And I had to, like, wear basically, like, two black sheets, like, safety pinned together, and went into from a room of, like, dark into a room of really big brightness, and they, like, did, like, put some ink into a cup. I couldn't even hear
Very
or
ritualistic.
Really understand what the rituals were, because I was so shocked that they were doing this to us in a way too, because I was like, what does this have anything to do with like sisterhood?
Right. Like, well, I don't think they even know. I don't
being
think
being friends.
It's something that's been passed down from, you know, generation to generation within these fraternities and sororities, that the head of them in the moment don't even really know what the rituals stand or stem from.
And you know what's actually really shitty, and I just thought about it right now, but I have pictures of myself on my Facebook doing those symbols, and I had no
idea.
They're
gonna leak online.
I feel like I should probably take those down, because I do not support that, and I do not believe in that, and I left for a reason, and I'm admitting it right now, but I promise that I didn't take part in anything that harmed anybody directly. But I don't know where the money went that I had to pay to be a part of this. Like, they charged me money to be there, and I didn't even, and then they, you know, crapped on me for my grades and stripped me of my a title that they forced me, like a position they forced me to do, which was like the record keeper or something. And I was terrified to do it. And then they took it away from me because my grades weren't high enough in my first year university. And I was like, I hate this. This is not cute. And I got in trouble because I made fun of one of the girls during one of the events because she did this weird like finger lick move in the middle of a conversation. She was like eating and she went and kept talking. And I was like, oh, like what? I got in trouble for reacting to her licking her finger. So anyways, random rant, but sorry to distract from the
COVID. And with the hazing, it plays right into the ritual hazing of these secret societies. Yep. Like, and I know that at my school, a lot of the fraternities, people that I knew, their initiations into the fraternity were literally in the Freemason building downtown.
Ugh.
And I'm not saying that they did like weird, super weird things, but it's placing those seeds into your mind. You know, you do it at the Freemason Hall, you get associated with those people, you come out of the fraternity, now you're invited to join the Brotherhood. There's you're already used to that kind of Brotherhood, later. So you're asked to, you know, be a further part of it. You're promised fame, you're promised wealth, you're promised success, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of these fraternities and sororities do some really nasty shit. Excuse my English, but like, they force, I'm not saying at all that every fraternity does this, but of course we've all heard of fraternities at our schools and stuff that make the men do really deviant sexual behaviors to each other. I've heard a lot of stories about that at my school. Same thing with the women in sororities. And it's all about the programming and the normalization of this stuff. And then it moves right into the more elite versions. So,
and, you know, we're not strangers to other celebrities talking about this being a thing. They joke about it openly a lot of the time. And it's just, we're getting desensitized in a way to it, and it's not okay.
One of the other things was the gematria. If you don't know what gematria is, it's like breaking down the numerology of words and letters to find patterns and symbolisms within them, which if you're a person that only relies on logic and reason to form your reality, isn't going to make sense to you. But I think for most of our listeners, they understand that the intuitive or the emotional should be in balance with the logic and reason, because the world is not a logical place. The universe is not a logical place. So to try to define it with logic is very illogical, in my opinion. But the gematria breaks down, his name breaks down to 126, which is the day he died. Bryant is 26, Lakers is 26, basketball is 26.
Yes, there's a lot of 26 going on.
Lakers is 206, ritual sacrifice is 206. Whoa. Kobe Bean Bryant, 243, LeBron Ramon James, 243, United States of America, 243. Oh, 243 years old.
Interesting.
So, gematria is more of how to find very loose, like, deeper metaphysical connections between concepts, not necessarily definitive proof that anything is connected. But interesting that someone had pointed that out. Another thing, did you hear about the whole Mr. Peanut thing? Okay.
That doesn't sound good.
So Kobe was a part of the Mr. Peanut brand advertising. Mr. Peanut being the, you know, the peanut brand that is like been around forever. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I think so.
You know, the Mr. Peanut guy.
Like a little top hat or
something.
Yeah, he's
got the top hat. He's got the cane. So a few days before Kobe died, Mr. Peanut, the company or whatever the company is called, leaked their Super Bowl ad in which Mr. Peanut died. So
that's weird.
Why was it leaked?
Why did it die?
And they killed him off. And so people are saying it was symbolism or allusion to Kobe because Kobe was in the Mr. Peanut commercials. And then they killed Mr. Peanut off days before Kobe died.
All right.
And, you know, keeping this in the context of that Wikipedia said assassination and all the other things, like, it really starts to form a picture. Kobe also had a 666 workout program.
I did hear about that. I was like, okay.
He would like work out, it was like 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, 6 days a month, or something like that. The first comment underneath that was like, why can't it be called the Jesus program? Why has it got to be 666?
I know. And it's hard too that these, you know, secret societies and so on have taken these certain symbols and certain numbers and twisted them and used them in their own symbolism, which, you know, I mean, is bound to happen. They got to take things that are maybe neutral and make them their own, as, you know, symbolism is a big deal. So,
yep.
But 666 in general, like, shouldn't be an evil thing. It doesn't need to be an evil thing. It's right. Numbers, like, it's right. A neutral thing, but now it's become a symbol for something greater.
Just like being covered in gold.
Exactly. I mean, I love gold.
Yeah. Gold is great.
Gold is awesome.
And the divine beings who were covered in gold were positive divine beings, but it was misinterpreted and misused. They were gold.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They were literally gold. Yeah. Kobe was not gold literally light. Gold.
Yeah.
Or the priests or whatever the heck is going on. All right, let's get into the next fluffy thing.
We're almost done. Uh-oh. With the Kobe anomalies.
We really wanted to dive into this deeply because I think all of these symbols and so on are going to be helpful for us to continue seeing other beings who are touting these symbols, and we just wanted to help.
So Q said symbolism would be their downfall. You know, we talked about the Y being representative of the goat head, Baphomet. Mm. And look at Kobe's symbol. It's literally same shape, the Y. I thought it was funny what you said. You're like, it doesn't even resemble a K or a B. Like, why did he choose that?
Yep. I'm a cutie. I didn't get it at all.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that even mean? And is it supposed to be a basketball or something? And kind of maybe, but yeah, it looks a lot more like, it definitely resembles kind of a goat. Which is
and then great. Here's a funny meme.
If they could just add a few more triangles, that would be great. Ew.
Yeah. Just make a little light of the situation.
There's more. Okay.
I want to read what Sean Stone, you know Sean Stone?
Yep.
From Gaia. I want to read what his initial comments on it were.
My mom liked his show on Gaia. Is this not a good comment? Oh, no.
No, it's a good... No, I mean, no, it's just...
I'm like, are you going to tell me Sean Stone?
No. I respect Sean Stone. Okay. I don't watch his show that much. It's funny, people have compared me to him before, saying we have similar energies.
There you go.
But anyway, so Sean Stone said, quote, when I heard of the untimely passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others, I only had to ask one question. Is tonight the Grammys? Unfortunately, we are in a world where ritual and ceremony, the collective power of humans gathering with intention and purpose to heal our wounds and those of this earth to manifest a better world, has been co-opted for millennia by a dark faction that prefers we surrender our energy to mortal stars, which are manufactured and all too often manipulated. Mm-hmm. When a star is extinguished in this darkest of seasons, the energy reverberates as a tremendous sense of loss for all of us, and thus feeds that dark faction. Do not believe it. Do not give your power to it. We are each of us living, vibrant stars, and there is no death. And then,
great.
And then links to all of the famous people who have died on the eve of, or on the eve or on the day of big social events. So
award ceremonies and so on.
Award ceremonies. Whitney Houston died on the eve of the Grammys. Philip Seymour Hoffman died on Super Bowl Sunday. Bobby Christina Brown.
Oh, I wonder if another celebrity death will happen before the Super Bowl. I mean, that's technically maybe tomorrow, so.
Bobby Christina Brown died on the eve of the Super Bowl. David Bowie died the night of the Golden Globes. George Michael died on Christmas. Bill Paxton died on the eve of the Academy Awards. And, of course, Kobe Bryant died the night of the Grammys. So the idea that he's presenting here is that, you know, a lot of us use the word louche. Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it was the night of the Grammys. Know. Yeah, yeah.
I get 20... them mixed up in my head.
Yeah, it was the Grammys. Yeah, that's how little people watched it. The Grammys had the lowest ratings they've had in 12 years. It was like down like 40-something percent.
Good job, everybody.
Yeah, Tiffany Fitzhenry is really good about talking about how the Hollywood is really crumbling and people don't respect or pay attention to them anymore, which is really draining their energy. Yes. So the idea Sean Stone was presenting here is that of louche, the negative energy that is released when we feel negative emotions. I'm not saying negative emotions are bad, but there are entities out there and beings and humans who feed off of negative energy on very large scales as a collective. And so when there's a collective mourning of somebody, that is a very powerful energy that is released, that
of a specific kind of despair.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So with the Grammys, it's a good segue. Let me pull this up. Check out. Everyone at the Grammys looks like a new Batman villain. So we have Billie Eilish. I don't know who the other people are, honestly. Musicians, men. But what struck me particularly here is it is well known within the Luciferian establishment doctrine within Hollywood that there is an initiation involved in the contractual signing up for wealth and fame in the industry. There is a part of the initiation that involves having to cross-dress publicly. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, that humiliation. It's like a sacrifice of your
dignity.
Yeah. That they force you to do. Like, they'll be like, you know, you'll get this next big contract, but you have to cross-dress at the Grammys, kind of thing. And it's a breaking down of the character and dignity. And so there was a ton of them at this year's Grammys. Even Tyler the Creator also did something with clones. There was like his act had to do with clones of him, which is very interesting too. But yeah, so
things just keep getting weirder.
That's
okay.
I did this last time, but I drank too much tea and I gotta run to the bathroom again real quick. So take it away.
What's next?
Talking about coronavirus.
Oh, what? Yeah. How long is this episode so far?
I have no idea.
You mind?
It doesn't tell us.
It tells me on the bottom there. It's just you can't see.
I don't know, but let's just keep going.
Okay.
I'm not worried about it. Oh, but we got out of focus. What just happened? No. Okay. I'll be right back.
So, yeah. That is some of the evidence that Jace and I have gathered. Some of that I have not seen. Obviously, you can judge that by my own reactions. But as, you know, as people who are on potentially, who claim to be on the ascension path, people who want to bring light to the darkness, we thought that this would be interesting to you. And we hope that every single one of these deaths in a way and these rituals and these symbols and these cults and so on will become and expose themselves more and more where it's pathetic and ridiculous. And then potentially at that point, people who are very fantastic creators and very talented are not going to see any type of power or potential or, benefit to them by joining these cults and so on. And we're just basically draining the life away. And the fact that all this stuff is so easily available on the internet now, and that we can openly talk about this on my YouTube channel and so on, is a really good sign that they've already kind of lost their ability to hold this down. And so now it's just this unraveling that we're watching together and we're sharing with you. And we want to hold it in the space of respect for the people who have been, you know, brought into this, who have been peer pressured into this and so on, who've been tricked like myself in a really light vanilla way to join this sorority, which I had no idea they were going to be doing weird rituals and so on to initiate us and so on. Just think about that, but think about you being a recording artist and then you show up to this party and then all of a sudden something's in your drink and you simply do not remember what happened to you that night. And then the next day, your manager or some other representative shows up and goes, all right, so I have this video of you under the influence. Who cares? But you are, you know, doing weird things, or we did these weird things to you when you were under this influence. And we will never show this to anyone, but we own you now, basically. And this seems to be kind of the pattern that they go through, a lot of these people. And we want to hold space and forgiveness and for understanding for these people who've gone through this. And I want all of those people who've gone through this to know that we are ready to hear what happened to you. We're ready to hear what you did, and we're ready to hear your apology, and we're ready to hear what you're planning to do to change things. And even if that does include you going to a prison facility, we don't want to put you in a place where you are again in danger. We want to put you in a place where you can heal, because I believe that there is a sickness going on. And also, you know, trauma has been introduced into your life. And I do not want to downplay the trauma of what anyone has gone through. And I really believe that bringing what trauma has happened up and sharing about that will begin this process of forgiveness and healing, because we need to stop the cycle. It's not going to be clean cut, happy go lucky. But I think most of us are aware of that, as we have constantly been witness and involved in these, you know, public rituals and slavery and so on from the systems that we were all born into and are involved in. And we all need to heal, and we are all kind of sick in a lot of ways. And Jason and I are working on healing. This is what we believe is going to help us with our own healing and the things that we've been involved with that we don't even know sometimes the things we've been involved with the things that we've bought in our lives and the people that we glorified, maybe, or, you know, like products and places and benefits that we may have enjoyed but we didn't know came from a dark place and were siphoning energy in a terrible way, and TV shows. And, you know, I don't think that anyone who's watching this has been untouched by what these systems have done. And what, like, we've all been to school, we've all been part of an indoctrination. A lot of us have been inoculated as children and babies. We've been received, you know, vaccines. A lot of us could easily be dealing with vaccine injuries that we don't even know, because everybody has a very similar level of vaccine injury, some people more than others, unfortunately. But these are the sort of things and the places that we are kind of all healing from. And thankfully, we have our health and we have our wits to a certain extent, and our confidence and our strength. And we want to talk about these things because I feel like it's going to continue to bring confidence, strength, and healing to others. And, you know, I'm glad that we have this platform to do it and have such a great community to converse about this with. And we want to show you really fun, awesome things on this podcast too. But there is, right now, it seems like the beginning of this year, this 2020, there was a lot going on that was not great. And I think we can move into the next thing, which I kind of brought up, which, you know, potential vaccine injuries and inoculations and things that have been, what's that called, like bioweapons and so on. So with this coronavirus was the other thing that was a really big hot topic thing that was happening at the same time as the Kobe Bryant thing. And people have reportedly died from this flu and so on. People die all the time from many, many things. And a lot of those things have been caused by bio, you know, human interaction with bio, like viruses and bacteria and so on. Like, it's not, a lot of these things are very common, but, you know, we want to bring light to it and talk about it and how this is potentially another smokescreen, and this is man-made, and this is not okay, and we do not consent to this, and we want all of these people to be properly protected and taken care of instead of, you know, attacked and sprayed with whatever sickness that's actually killing people off, like eugenics style, like we are some type of flock that can just be culled and so on. And that's, you know, the universe does that itself. We do not need to step in and do it. Like, the earth will open up and swallow people or whatever. And those are the risks we take, as, you know, as I said, incarnating on an earth. The earth takes care of itself in a lot of the ways too. And for humans to step in and try and make solutions in weird ways, like killing ourselves off and so on, it just doesn't make sense to me. And so I don't agree with the coronavirus issue, and I don't want to give it power and strength to give me fear. And also, you know, your vibration is everything. Everything is vibration. So if you can keep your vibration above the resonance of this virus, you cannot resonate in and with this virus. That's the theory. So raise your vibrations if you're afraid of getting sick. How do you do that? You do a high vibratory diet with pranic breathing and plants and sunlight and ormus and other, you know, minerals, and you exercise and you love and you wake up in gratitude and you only have loving, kind intentions with your time and energy. And that's how you float above these things and also have the strength to defeat them for the world, in my opinion. How was your bathroom break?
What was the last thing you said?
I said, how was your bathroom break?
Oh, it was great, as always.
Great.
I feel much better.
I'm off my soapbox. I'm prepared now.
Very well said.
Thank you.
So I think probably most of the people watching this have been keeping up to a degree with what's going on with the coronavirus.
Yes.
I think it's pretty common knowledge now that the coronavirus is something that, although it is being presented as a new epidemic, as a new virus, it's something that actually has been around for a while, that has been patented and produced by different labs, both domestic and internationally. And so the first kind of thing I wanted to show, not that, this is from 2015 from The Scientist. Lab-made coronavirus triggers debate. The creation of a chimeric, very interesting word, right? Chimeric.
Yeah.
The creation of a chimeric SARS-like virus has scientists discussing the risks of gain of function research. And so I'm not going to read this whole thing, but there are multiple patents for the coronavirus. The coronavirus is not one type of virus. It's kind of a classification of different viruses. But there are many anomalies around how the coronavirus has been experimented with over the years, particularly the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's involvement with the virus. So I'm gonna go back to my other page over here and just show a couple of screenshots I have. This is somebody from Twitter, at Zoomer Matthew, said, WTF, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had an event. They just had an event just a few months ago where they did a scenario called Event 201, dealing with a virus that spreads through the world and kills millions and which requires global coordination to combat it. It was called coronavirus. Now, I'm not even going to get into the details about the funding that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation did into the university that patented the coronavirus many, many years ago, that you can find on your own. There's a lot of other people talking about it, but this was something that I didn't see too many other places, that this Event 201 that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation held was literally a simulation for a coronavirus that would kill millions. Did you hear about this?
Nope.
Yeah,
so sloppy, or maybe we're just being able to pay attention more now because of the internet, but
yeah,
the level of sloppiness there is just like they aren't even trying. So maybe it's just weird to me that it's that obvious, but maybe we're just getting so smart and we don't even notice.
So another creepy, another creepy thing about that Event 201. This person says, nobody has been able to explain why they gave out stuffed souvenir coronavirus toys at Event 201. Almost like this is big fun for them. Or maybe it's to commemorate the virus that'll make them a fortune on vaccines and other treatments we will be forced to buy. Thoughts?
Ew.
Literally a plush coronavirus toy
that says Event 201. It was probably made in a sweatshop
too. Isn't that crazy?
It's got little eyes. Glorifying man-made viruses.
So another strange thing about the virus is the DNA code, the nucleotide code.
Okay.
So, you know, ATCG, adenine, thymine, cytosine, guanine are what makes up our DNA.
Right.
What are the odds that in the coronavirus genetic structure, the adenine repeats 33 times at the end? Let me pull up a picture of it. I don't know how well you can see that, but down here,
weird.
You know, that it's all the normal kind of random genetic code, and then A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A 33 times. And the 33 is a big number in the occult, too.
In the Freemason and, well, lots of occult things. And they say that Jesus was 33 when he came back. And
so what are the chances of that naturally happening?
It's a symbolic number of...
Yeah, I know both of us believe, though, that the coronavirus is a scare. It's a fad in a way.
Unfortunately, they're using something like this as a fad because something else is going to come out next week, like the Super Bowl, and we're going to be on to the next thing. Like, if you walked around a supermarket just for fun, every time that this stuff comes out, it's probably the first thing that's on people's minds when you ask them about what they're concerned about today. Like, what are you concerned about today? Well, whatever it was in the news that they produced for all of us to be afraid of that week is probably like 80% of the time what people are going to talk about. And it's just that's what mind control is. It's controlling what is on your mind. And if it's a fear-based emotion attached to that, it's just like, it's a constant festival of fear, and it's got to stop. And either we got to put all of our phones down and not look at what all this stupid stuff that they're producing and give it any more power, or, you know, eventually they're going to run out of ammo and we're all going to know the jig is up and just not care anymore and become so complicit to their nonsense that we're just not even going to react the same way. And then either things are going to get more intense, or either they're just going to spin themselves out of whatever. So hope that our awareness is going to make us stronger and not allow these things to infect our minds and infect our families physically with these viruses and so on. We are so much stronger than all of these things. And that's what they truly fear, is us to have this empowerment. So that's also why I feel like we do this show, because we want to empower you to not be afraid. And
you don't need to be afraid of coronavirus.
You don't need to be afraid. And it's hard for, I know maybe you could say, well, we don't have any right to say that because we're not in Wuhan, China right now, but I don't think that they need to be afraid either. Really, right. If they band together, they will literally raise their vibration and will be easier and out of reach of this nonsense.
I saw multiple reports come out today discussing how the coronavirus is no more deadly than the common strain of influenza. And that people are recovering from it.
Oh, I have one more thing about the coronavirus that came for me synchronistically that I wanted to add. So February 17th, 2019 was the giant 24-hour long Schumann blast that I printed onto some sweatshirts because it looks awesome and it's the longest one I've seen before. And I saw an article that said that the children and people who are basically on home, like they have to stay home, they're staying home until the 17th of February this year. And for some reason, because again, that's like the only date I have memorized about Schumann activity, that was shocking to me in a way, being like, oh my God, maybe something else is going on. And maybe this is maybe energy related too, and that people are somehow synchronistically being asked or being given permission to stay home and deal with the energies maybe that are happening and coming through us. And then there will be like another grand moment and celebration, and people will be reborn and birthed and allowed out of their homes again. And so it made me think not only in the direction of doom and gloom, but also hope and curiosity about the energies and so on in the area, specifically in China. So I'm like, it's some other distraction or a reason or something to give people as they're feeling icky and strange and gross, you know, flu-like. Ascension symptoms seems to be similar feeling for a lot of people, and it might be easier for the cognitive dissonance for the people to be like, oh, we're home because we feel gross and there's a flu going around, instead of, hey, we're home and there's, you know, a giant plasma wave washing over us right now and our DNA is literally shifting and we need bed rest. But that's just what came to my mind.
Well, and you know what's also interesting about that date, that February 17th? There was a video published last week by a random new YouTube channel that nobody's really familiar with.
Yeah, like 1,000 subs.
Yeah. The video was called QAnon, You Are Watching a Movie. Some of you may have seen it. It was a fantastic production. It's a 5-minute video basically laying out the mainstream media attack on Q, the evidence behind Q, what the Q mission is. And at the very end of the video, they put on the screen, ask the Q, 2/17/2020,
mm-hmm.
February 17th, 2020.
Yep.
And to me, I was like, whoa, I was already feeling like this video was kind of an insider video. Like the quality of the production was too good. And then for them to put a date, now, is that just like maybe a holiday?
In the future.
Is that a holiday they're making up? Like,
well,
you know, this is the day.
Well, it is Washington, I think, birthday or something that day. It's on our calendar. I'm going to check
Washington's
right now.
Birthday? Well, if you don't know, the Ask the Q question is referring to somebody asking Trump the Q, which is the question of, what is QAnon, or are you connected to QAnon, or, you know, anything about QAnon to the president. Nobody's asked it. Nobody. All these organizations, all these media companies trying to say Q is bogus, not a single reporter has asked Trump about it. It's a little weird, right? It's almost like they know what the response is going to be. So people have been saying for years, when is the Q going to be asked? And so this person put in the video, ask the Q 2/17/2020. So either they're implying that this is the day we should like post on social media about this, or like, you know, we should create some kind of
movement
around this, which is doesn't totally resonate with me as what the purpose of it was, or they know something and this is going to be a future proves past in a way. But to have it be the same date, February 17th, as the Schumann blast and as the thing she just referenced in China, that is very
and it's
strange.
President's Day and Washington's birthday.
President's Day.
Yeah, that's what the calendar says.
Oh my God, of course they would ask the Q on President's Day.
I mean, it's a pretty beautiful opportunity.
Whoa.
So,
what if the Durham report comes out that day?
Definitely circle that day on your calendar, February 17th. Oh, I know, gosh. I'm going to be watching for sure.
Whoa, mind blown.
Yeah, so.
Dang.
Optimism is alive. We're excited.
Okay, so real quick, one of the last things about the coronavirus I want to point out.
Just for, you know, just to add for conversation with your family and so on, there's some more evidence for you.
This is further evidence of the corruption within the university systems as well, which is something I'm very adamant about exposing, because I believe the university systems are very corrupt, research manipulation, foreign interference, all sorts of nasty stuff.
Yeah.
So this is the top, the department chair for chemistry and chemical sciences at Harvard has just been arrested on $1 million cash bond for lying to the Department of Defense about receiving $50,000 a month from the Chinese government and sending them research. Can you believe that?
It's pretty awesome that was publicly...
The department chair of chemistry at Harvard. So one of the most prestigious, chemists in the world, in the education system, arrested for receiving $50,000 a month from the Chinese government. Also, two of his students turned out to be Chinese nationalists, one of them being a lieutenant in the Chinese army. It's basically a spy.
And I think a lot more of this is going to be coming out, and because, yeah, it's the elitist the education. It is the approved knowledge of an approved knowledge of the highest order in the best schools, in quotes, on our planet. And it's a highly regulated and controlled area of intelligence and knowledge and lies and mind control, because the people who paid a lot of money do not want to admit that what they've learned is also a lie, and also that they're being taught by, you know, corrupt people and, you know, paying money into a system. Yep. Like, whenever there's money involved, especially a lot of it, you know, there's likely some not so cute stuff going on, because that's kind of how the money system works.
So listen to specifically which university this guy was working with in China. According to a criminal complaint, Lieber did not disclose to the DOD that he was being paid a salary of up to $50,000 per month and $158,000 per year in living expenses by China's Thousand Talents Plan and the Wuhan University of Technology.
Right.
Federal investigators also determined that Lieber was awarded more than $1.5 million to establish a nanotechnology research lab at WUT.
Here's that nanotechnology thing again.
China's institutions. Mm-hmm. But some of...
Pardon you.
China's Thousand Talents Plan, according to the complaints, is a Chinese government-run program designed to entice scientists and researchers in the United States to share their research expertise with China. And it was going to Wuhan. So this guy was also caught smuggling biological material out of the country.
Ew.
Like in his socks, and then lied about it. And so, of course, got in trouble for that.
My mind went totally dirty on that.
I mean, biological material can be anything. Yeah. But presumably bioweapons, like a virus that maybe originated in the city that this guy was sending stuff to. It's just so crazy how blatant and in your face all this stuff is.
And it's being,
and that some people still can't make the connections.
Well, it's funny because this stuff has been going on, I'm sure, a long time. But now it's actually being publicly talked about and reported all over the internet. And then people are still like on these, you know, fake news or these controlled news arms and outlets are now talking about these things. And it's just so funny to me that people are like, no, but it's okay because it doesn't matter, because this is what we're interested in, and we hold space for everyone's path and everyone's opinions and what they're going through, as long as they aren't harming themselves and others. You know, they have every right to continue on in whatever direction of ignorance or curiosity or whatever, that's their path. I don't want them to also be blocking this information from reaching other people and from or their opinions and so on, discouraging others from doing their own investigation. And that's what I have to say about that, I guess.
All right, enough of coronavirus. Poof. Let's get that out of here. Let's cleanse that from our system.
Okay, so coronavirus, we are cleansed of you. May all the people who have been harmed and affected by you receive justice. May you be cleansed. We wish you all and all of you and your families the very best. And we are taking part in trying to bring this to justice.
By the way, this stuff that I keep holding, it's really awesome. It's called Sedona Fulgurite. Fulgurite. It's lightning stone. It's formed when lightning hits sand or dirt and fuses into a crystalline structure. And you get these really long, this is one of the longer ones, really long structures. Sometimes they're hollow, that are formed by the lightning. And so the natives would hold these in very high regard. They're like crystals. They're very energetically powerful. They have the energy of the lightning. And then these are red rock, because they're made here in Sedona, so they're super rare. Like, you can find fulgurite online from other countries and stuff, but it's always white or gray. I I've never seen anywhere have red fulgurite besides here in Sedona. And yeah, they're really awesome. They feel really grounding to hold. So that's why I keep holding them. They feel really good. This one's like a wand, like perfectly fits in your hand. Anyways, I just thought I would share that.
Let us know if you'd like us to put them. We have a bit of a stock in it right now. So if you'd like a piece and maybe want us to put it on our website,
yeah,
we can mail you a piece if you'd like to add that to your crystal collection. Because I know some of you are very committed crystal collectors, and we'd like to, you know, send these beings, these divine sovereign beings, on their way to you.
Yes.
If you'd like as well.
All right. So only two, actually only really one more thing.
Okay.
And then we're going to kind of wrap up with a lighthearted, funny thing. But I wanted to dive real quick into Q, particularly, let me find it, particularly this Q drop. I'm not going to go over all the Q drops. I'm just going to go over a couple. So, I know Alexis is getting nervous.
I'm not getting nervous.
So, when Q first started posting, one of the first things that was posted was this picture. This is a picture of Washington crossing the Delaware during the American Revolution. This picture was posted by Q the same day multiple intelligence and government agencies posted the same picture on Twitter. The illusion or the speculation in the moment was that this was representative of the storm and of, you know, independence. And it was kind of, you know, there wasn't a super tight understanding of maybe what it meant other than that it was significant because all these other agencies posted it. And so what we found out on January 28th, Q says, Anons found the subtle hint dropped in the beginning. Think Durham start, think Q start. You may have more than you know. And they link to Wikipedia to the name of the boat that Washington was riding across the Delaware. And it was called the Durham Boat. That is the manufacturer who creates it. They were called Durham Boats, large wooden flat-bottom double-ended boats. They were also noted for use in Washington's crossing of the Delaware during the American Revolution. So why is this relevant? Now, if you're not super familiar with Q and everything that's going on, Durham is the prosecutor that has been appointed towards investigating the origins of the corruption and lies around the Russia investigation into Trump. As we've found out through this whole impeachment debacle, the Russian investigation was based completely on false pretenses. The whole thing about the Steele dossier, illegally obtained with false information, is what even started this rumors about the Russian collusion. And so Durham is in charge of this investigation. Now, for the longest time, Q was alluding to the IG report, the FISA report, D-class, as it was often called, as being the big heavy hitter that would hit the deep state, that would reveal a lot of these truths. People had been waiting for years for D-class, for FISA, for the Horowitz report. People were really amped about that. And it sort of came and went. And the reason why is because the Horowitz report was limited to the FBI in scope. Horowitz was only allowed to investigate within the FBI's base of knowledge. That was disappointing to a lot of people. A lot of people lost hope in Q after that, called Q a liar, called Q fraudulent, even though the entire time Q has said disinformation is necessary. And people like to write that off as a cop-out, right? But it's very true. And disinformation is necessary because the deep state is also watching what Q is saying. And so Q would often try to essentially trick the deep state into thinking something big was going to happen so that they would spend their ammo in whatever form, whether it's impeachment, you know, the Mueller report, whatever it was, whatever ammunition the deep state had against Trump left. Q continuously tried to weed that ammunition out by hyping up these events that turned into really nothing. Nothing huge, you know, like there was all these things like the release, the memo, the D class.
It wasn't that satisfying to the people who are like, yeah, everyone's going to get arrested.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of people lost hope in Q because of that. And so what this proves...
Or became increasingly more skeptical.
Right. What this proves is that Q and the Q team knew from the very beginning, from the first month that Q started posting, that it was going to be Durham that was the hard hitter when it came to revealing evidence against the deep state. Now, the Durham report has not been released yet. Trump said after the Horowitz report was released, I'm looking forward to seeing the Durham report. We all should look forward to seeing the Durham report. It should be very telling. So Durham, like I said, is not limited to the FBI in his scope. He can call upon any witnesses. He can essentially like subpoena anybody. He can investigate to whatever extent he wants to investigate. And so this is where people are saying, again, that this is going to be the actual hammer that comes down on the deep state. And it seems like really now that impeachment's over and everything, that all of the deep state's ammunition has really been spent. And so for Q to post this, to say, think Durham start, think Q start, you have more than you know, they were saying from the beginning that they knew it was the Durham boat, the Durham vessel as a mission that would deliver this revolution, that would deliver this information. Direct symbolism. I love how Q uses symbolism, because Q always says with the deep state, symbolism will be their greatest downfall. Q uses symbolism to balance that. Q uses symbolism for the light.
And, well, yeah, symbolism can be used both ways.
Right. And the whole future proves past. This is a great example of that. We're seeing now that, like I said, from the beginning, Q knew it was going to be Durham. Now, another synchronicity is that the day that this picture was posted was also the day that Durham was actually appointed to be the prosecutor for that office and begin the investigation over 2 years ago.
And didn't other people also Twitter, like, post this picture on their Twitters the same time?
Yeah, like government agencies did.
Right.
Like, I don't remember which one specifically. I think it was also the anniversary of that or Washington's birthday. So there was, like, maybe a reason that the agencies would have posted that, but it was still very synchronous. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so
it's a very specific photo.
Yeah. Another thing that people have pointed out is that this photo has been altered a little bit. The original doesn't have these kind of stormy yellow skies. And so people are saying that's allusion to the storm. And we were getting tons of synchronicities around the storm when we were looking into this. We were talking about the storm and this, and talking about, you know, the Trump the calm before the storm mention, which, if you don't know, when Trump was first elected, there was a moment where he was standing with all these high-ranking military intelligence officers and their wives, and the media is taking pictures, and he says, hey, you guys know what this is right here? And they say, what? And he says, this is the calm before the storm. And they all go, what's the storm? And he says, you'll find out. And there hasn't been any talk from him on that since. And so, of course, we know from Q, the storm is this operation revealing the deep state, exposing this stuff. So that same day, we were listening to a Pleiadian channeling, which, as many of you know, there seems, according to some people, there seems to be a connection potentially between galactic groups and Q, specifically Pleiadians seem to be what's coming through.
Ooh, my phone just buzzed.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. This is the stuff that happens all the time.
Yeah, got to listen to the patterns.
Yeah.
So we're listening to a Pleiadian channeling, and they brought up the storm. I don't even remember in what context. I don't think it was even referencing this, but they brought up the storm that was coming to the Earth that would be revealing this stuff. They didn't mention Q or any of that, but they referred to it as the storm. I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. That's synchronistic. Mm-hmm. And then the same night, we're watching Avatar The Last Airbender, because she's never seen it. It's one of my favorite shows, so I'm watching it with her from the beginning. And we happened to watch the episode called The Storm. That was the episode we were on that night, in order, watching it. Had no idea. We watched The Storm.
Again, this stuff happens to us all the time, which is why we feel kind of confident talking about this publicly, because it's just like... every moment of doubt is just like, boom, here you go. You're watching Avatar. You're also watching the episode The Storm. Congratulations. The storm came up like 3 times today, completely unrelated in a lot of ways.
Yes.
So either we're insane or there's something fun going on. But either way, we're putting it in the Ascension Diary.
Or both.
So we can look back when we're like, remember that time that we were crazy? It's going to be good. It's all good.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all I wanted to say about Q. Also wanted to point out this about Durham. Dang, I keep doing that. John Durham, head of probe in Russia investigation, appoints new criminal chief. This is on January 28th, so there's still progress going on within this. And we're expecting that the Durham report will come out sometime in spring, maybe early summer at the latest, hopefully.
Spring equinox.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Could be.
I have a feeling it could be sooner than we're expecting, too, because now that impeachment has wrapped up, you know, they voted in the Senate not to call additional witnesses, so it's pretty much guaranteed that the Senate is also going to vote not to, the Senate is going to vote to acquit Trump from impeachment, which is going to open the door for these other investigations to come in, which is something all of these prosecutors have been saying. Rudy Giuliani has been very outspoken about being very interested in seeing what comes up in these investigations into the origins of the Russian interference. So, yeah, good stuff. All right, anything you want to say before we end on our fun note with Mr. Musk?
Just give me a high five. We got through so much in this episode, and ooh, I really want to say, you know, we've been kind of saving up for this. Obviously, it's been a little while since the last time we shot, but we are definitely in a time of rich, rich content and rich worldly exposure of all of this stuff that, you know, growing up, we had no idea existed. But now kids are literally making jokes about a lot of this stuff, like I mentioned 100 times on TikTok. And it's just incredible to be alive in this time and to be in a state where we can sit here and record ourselves on video, and that there's actually people who are, you know, we've become friends with around the world who are talking about this and are vindicated in a lot of ways for seeing all the same data and feeling like there is a corroboration and some logic forming from all of this. And I just feel blessed that we are safe to do this and that we are housed to do this and that many people have supported us this month. It is now a new month, and we managed to, you know, gather enough funds to stay in this place for another month. And it's thanks to so many people's help. And, you know, I think we're out of the reeds and like the worst of it and my own personal fears about everything. And I've learned a lot in this month, and I'm so grateful that we really, you know, have all of the abundance and opportunity and incredible creative passion that we do. And we want to, and so many great things happen in the world. So many beautiful, amazing things are happening all the time. And I really want to continue making that a big part of this show, because we definitely need it. So we wanted to finale with some really random but really delightful occurrence that happened in the world with one of the most popular people on Twitter and also in the space race right now, Mr. Elon Musk. And I received a tweet from him because I follow him on Twitter because he's Mr., you know, random, and I love it. But he basically said that he's just created a new track, a new song. He's not a musical artist traditionally, so I was like, what? But I know that he's like with Grimes right now. She's a very, you know, talented, she produces her own stuff and everything, so I was like, oh, maybe they produce something. But I really, really liked the song that he produced, and it's such a, like, so it,
Elon Musk is now making progressive ambient house music.
And
his song is called Don't Doubt Your Vibe.
Don't Doubt Your Vibe.
With a UR, your. And his logo is the Cybertruck flying over Mars. And what was also funny is she found this initially because Elon Musk tweeted this meme when you realize Elon Musk's birthday is 69 days after 420. So she got that notification. I went to his profile to see it and saw that all within the minute of him posting that, he had already made his bio born 69 days after 420.
Yes.
Which is just hilarious. Like, I think we both appreciate the inner child and see the inner child in Elon, and that gives us hope. I know a lot of people are like really extreme with their beliefs on him and think he's like, you know, some kind of AI clone or super deep state, but I honestly don't get that vibe.
And we hold space for that, but
yeah,
again,
I don't get that vibe from him.
Yeah, especially with like the chaotic, funny humor that he has, and so many kids like love, like kids, I mean, like Gen Z, like everybody who's like a teen who has this kind of weird internet humor, they all get it and they're all making memes and whatever, and they seem to have a really good time. But the song that he actually made was so perfect, and I think the message was so good. Like the lines are, don't doubt your vibe because it is true, don't doubt your vibe because it is you. And that was all that he voiced it. You know, that was him.
He wrote it. He voiced it.
He's the poet behind this, at least from what I'm aware of. And it seems like he's very proud of himself. But it's such a like
pure, happy he is.
Fantastic message. And honestly, when we heard the song, we really needed to hear this thing. We needed to hear that. Don't doubt your vibe. Because it is true and because it is you. Because you know, you. Sometimes we get self-conscious about our beliefs and what's going on because of how people react who we care about. And, you know, it's good message to like, don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt your vibe. You know, you have every right to be this way and that it is true to you, and how you feel is okay. And it's part of your process. And if you're coming from a place of love and it's in growth and continuing to try, it's okay. I really appreciated this music.
How much do you want to bet Elon Musk is going to be the headliner of next year's Lightning in a Bottle or Gem and Jam or Lucidity Festival? I feel like he's going to be on the he's going to be on the bill of all these festivals next year. And you know what, his DJ name, he actually changed his profile to it for a while, but it looks like he changed it back. But his DJ name was E D in quotes M,
and Emoji Records
on Emoji Records.
Yeah, he just really went for all the puns and all the strangeness. And you know, I'm still not happy about the rockets thing, but
well, the way
maybe he's gonna be the one who brings the new tech forward.
I think Cabamir describes it really well. He calls him a gray hat.
Okay,
in the context of white hat, black hat, where, you know, white hat's fighting for good, black hat's fighting for evil. Elon seems like he's kind of in this state of almost ignorance to the battles that are going on, and he's kind of just doing his thing, but it appears that he has a solid heart and a solid inner child, and
yeah.
He is, you know,
we're like PayPal, and I'm glad PayPal's a thing.
We do use it a lot.
Yeah.
He is, I totally forgot my train of thought.
Gray hat.
Yeah, gray hat. So obviously,
sorry to interrupt you.
We're like super into getting these new technologies out there. And mm-hmm. I went to school for aerospace engineering, literally learning rocket science. I dropped out my fourth year because I was like, F this. Like, I don't want to work on rockets. I know there's stuff way better than rockets out there. And so within the context of Elon making these rockets, at least the way I see it, he is revolutionizing what is holding us back, right? So even with the rocket technology, which is like not changed for 100 years, he's actually revolutionizing the rocket technology. So he's pushing the very basics of where we're at forward, which forces everything else to push itself forward. Yeah, he's pushing the baseline up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to get us there. Like, I don't know if he's aware of ET life. I don't know if he's aware of these technologies. I feel like he has to be to an extent, but I trust what I see of him. I like his inner child. I trust that he's got a good heart. So
yes, and now he's got a great track. And
all right, let's check it out.
Somebody put his track on top of the video of him dancing at the Chinese reveal event, and I think that's what we want to have as our finale for today. So if you've made it all the way through to the end, we would like to reward you as always with this beautiful piece of history that is hilarious. So I would recommend you go see the whole track, which is on now on Spotify and SoundCloud. If you want to find it, or his Twitter, go for it. And here's a little snippet of it, and we will finale our way. So thank you all so much for being here. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for your support on PayPal, on Patreon, on checking out our website very soon. We're going to have memberships available on our website. So like, we're going to have a secret live stream that only people who support us, who join our club, are going to be accessed to. And also a live stream makes it easy for us to actually real time interact. So it's going to be, that's going to help us fund the actual show in a way. And it's not going to be much at all. We're trying to make it the most affordable so everyone can come along, but we're going to get the help we need to keep this going.
And if you'd like to support us, we will have a PayPal link down below. You can sign up for Alexis's personal Patreon, Ascension Diaries, to get sessions with her. And we welcome in, you know, all the conscious creators
and sponsors for the podcast.
Yes.
Email down below, ascensiondiaries@gmail.com, if you want to contact us.
All right. There we go.
Community strong.